Okay. I'm not sure what will be easiest. If I ask you the question and then I ask your dad the question. So it would be the same question, but first one and then the other. There have been no books that are written except for one about the Hmong people who have come to Michigan. Mm-hmm. There's one about the textiles, those tapestries that people make, the Yes. But other than that, there isn't anything, and there are something like 5,500 people who are Hmong in Michigan, although I know now more are moving out because of the economy. Mm-hmm. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. I just want to make sure. So I'm reading a lot to learn about the Hmong people, and then I'm interviewing them, because also since there was no written language before a certain time, I can't just, this is what's valuable. And I'm not, how do you say, an expert historian, or I'm interested in people's stories, and that's what I like to find out what the story is, and then that can support the outline of the history. So I'm interested in two parts. One is your life before you came here, and then once you came here, and some of the challenges, and the more you can paint a picture for me through words, that helps me, because I don't know your stories. I interviewed her before, which was her story, and everybody in a family has their own story. So sometimes when I've gone to interview people first, you know, the woman says, "Oh, my husband knows the whole story." And I said, "Well, everybody has their story, because there's the different experience." So, I think to start out is, because it's so far away from me, I mean, I've traveled a lot in the world, but I haven't been to Laos or Thailand or China. If you, why don't we start, and then I'll ask you the same question, okay, so that the information stays close. Does this make sense?
Yeah, no, very
good. Oh, okay.
Yep.
If you can start from the beginning, where you were born, and tell me a little bit about your life from way, way back.
I was born in Singapore.
First of all, I don't know your name. Your name is?
L-I-S-A.
Okay. You were born where?
Laos.
And what part of?
It's the northern of Laos.
Was it a village, or in the jungles,
the
or a city, or?
It's a village.
In the village.
Like city, village.
What's it?
Sam Tong. I think S A. I think it's S E A G T H O N.
Okay.
I never pay attention to that.
That's okay, because I realize that everything is oral.
Yeah, they write it differently.
Yes. So, tell me about your family when you were a little girl. You were born in what year?
In 58. My dad was the private leader.
Mm-hmm.
But once we grew up, the communists came over and they in more place to place, like around the province. Like.
Yes.
And stay in the jungle, but they're not actually, but, you know, we heard that they're coming, then we just hide in the, you know, in the woods, in the jungle, and come back to the village. And I remember that time, it's like, you go to school, but you're never in school, like, a little bit, then you hide off, and then you go a little bit. I think that's about it.
It must have been very frightening. I mean, suddenly you have to move.
Yeah.
And you're a little girl.
Yeah, and it, my parents would say the kids, like a little bit of rice, like this big, and you hold, you're staying somewhere close to you.
You're holding what?
You keep the rice close to you, unless if the enemy comes, then you grab whatever you have. So you don't get hungry when you're lost in the woods or somewhere. But then you go like a couple of days and you come back to live in a village.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have one brother and six sisters. So many. But I'm the oldest.
Oh, you're the oldest of all of them?
Yeah, all my siblings.
And did you have more responsibility as the oldest?
Oh, the most. It's the most. And in my time, we have very hardship, you know. I get the most responsibility in the house, like feed the animal, carry the baby in the bag, and have some water, bring water from it's good of the village to the house. And
it was a well? Or?
Back then we have a cross stream,
mm-hmm.
water from, yeah, and then by the far from, and then you just go get it.
In buckets or?
In buckets, yeah.
And, what would your parents say to you when you'd have to keep moving? I mean, it's hard enough growing up without having to worry that you have to move from place to place. So as a child, how did you look at this?
I think we can get used to it.
Okay.
You get used to it, and always in the parents say, it doesn't matter at night or during the day. If you hear the sound that enemy's coming, do whatever you can to hide it, get away.
It was a sound, you say?
No, it heard from people's mouth.
Ah.
Like enemies come around at near this mountain or near this road, or not road, near this path, and then you always alert, you always think. If you hear, it doesn't matter at night or during the day, if your parents there, it's time, then you know the signal that it's time. Then you have to, like, the chicken has to, you know, hide out.
What kinds of animals did you have? You had the chickens and...
In Laos. It's kind of funny. When you scare an enemy, my parents have like chicken, pig, dogs.
Dogs or ducks?
Ducks. My dad has riding horse, fighting bulls, you know, cows.
Oh, bulls.
Yeah, and then we have lots and lots of cows.
And if he was, since he was, you say, the head of the village, so he had to do that, plus he had to take care of the animals, or this fell on your mother and the children?
My dad very hard worker, and then I think we share responsibility. Like, but he normally we do all the work of the feeding and all the.
You say you did that?
We do. My mom and my dad just like have the house here. More things to do, so he share responsibility, but he didn't actually do it. My dad will feed his fighting bull, but
yes.
All the animals, and then he's a riding horse, you know, special ride. Then we have horses for carriage.
Yes.
But we have one special horse in the cage. For my dad's family, so he will feed his riding horse and the fighting bull. But other than that, mom and me.
You had to do this. How did you, I'm skipping around a little bit, but how did you recognize that it was the enemies? The way they dress or?
No, I think.
How?
I didn't actually see any enemies. Because my dad was a soldier before he became a clan leader. So as a kid, the story from my dad and people around that if an enemy comes, they'll kill everybody. So I didn't actually see any enemy.
So it's the fear.
Just the fear.
Yeah, I think the fear is already instilled in them prior to. But
see, when we were a kid, and then the soldier go to war, like, and there's probably not a single week that not a dead person returned to the village. So we always had the fear as a kid, the fear of death. So we, when we hear it talk about, we always fear that it gonna happen somehow someday. So I didn't actually see an enemy though.
But you saw the bodies.
Oh, yeah, beautiful, ugly bodies covered in ratty things. As a children, when they bring the body. I don't know, somehow just raised to look at it, who it is. It's your cousin, it's your brother, or it's somebody else, something like that. And all the bodies you can see, whether good or not good, or whatever. So you have to fear that in your mind.
So, until how old were you about that you stayed in Laos?
Then I was like
about
16.
And what's the next step?
Like what?
To you went to Thailand afterwards?
Oh yeah.
So if you can describe to me like you've described your home, what happened when it's no longer you're going into hiding, you're going to Thailand,
yeah,
or
yeah,
you're going who knows where. So how did this, if you can tell me the story.
In my journey to Thailand, it's not, we have buried in hiding, but it's not as bad as after the first mind wave, you know.
The first what?
The first, after we left, and people after us have hardship, but we just grab your stuff, leave everything behind, grab your clothes, and if you have money, I don't have any, so just get on the buses. And
so it was by bus?
Yeah, by bus. By bus. And then pay people just across the Mekong and go to Thailand. Of course, we are the first people there.
You were part of the first ones?
Yeah, part of the first.
Because of your father being a soldier?
Yeah, my father would flee like a bird. He left us behind because he got so scared. So my mom and my sibling will, you know, find the way to get on the bus.
Did he go on a bus too, or you don't know?
He went. He went, but he described, like, the person there. I don't know how you say that.
You're good. You're very good at describing.
Yeah, he's describing a, like, a different person. Like, you know, in Laos or Thailand, they have a second person to help put them on the bus. I don't know how that person called.
It's okay.
He described that person who dressed, you know, old clothes and tiny head, pretend that he's
somebody else?
Somebody else that held the
Oh, so he like impersonated.
Yeah.
He impersonated the poor person in order for him to get to where he was. The team went as themselves. He probably was like the dead.
So he went first.
He would say, so
it's hard. If you feel uncomfortable, you don't have to answer questions. They understand that they don't have to.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No, we talk about the old country. We are very, we didn't get in trouble with that place.
The what?
Oh.
Maybe he describes a little bit,
yeah,
so you,
okay, yeah.
Or you want to continue.
Yeah.
Okay. It's difficult.
Yeah. You would say, you'd be lucky, you'll see each other. If not, this is the end. So it's hard. But then later, my mom and we find a way to cross the time. So then everything was okay.
You saw him again?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
But in that time, everybody was emotional, you know, like, it's funny here.
Because the families are being pulled apart?
Yeah.
How did you how did you then start to leave with your mother? She said, pack up your things, or?
No packing, just like, bring, you know, for the UN.
Did you, were you able to bring photos?
No, back then we were so poor, we didn't have no photo.
So she said, I misunderstood. She said, pack up, just.
Pick up your clothes and little food with you, then you know.
And what kind of transportation? You first started to walk or run?
Oh, I just told you we came by. At first, you come from the village.
Yes.
Walk.
Okay, that's what.
And then when we reach the road, that we can reach a vehicle, then you have the.
Like a bus or?
Big bus.
And that took you to where? Which city or town?
To Nasu, which is the bigger city from not allowed. And then we take another bus to Vientiane. And then somehow they found it's a lot of loud people, you know, look for people to cross the Mekong, but they're doing it secretly. So somehow my mom found somebody, and then we just go to the water on the side of the Mekong, then they just fold us to the other side.
Were you all able to be on the same boat?
Yeah. My mom and my descendants were both on the same boat, but it's kind of like you have to fear that, you know, you're going to cross to the other side or not. Because they might, you know, those people not trust. They can drop you up, you know, in the river and go back, take the money and, you know, kind of like if you can go through the river cross, if you can't, just take chances. There's a lot of people that take boating people from Laos to Thai. They can do anything in the middle, you know, the middle of the river. So.
I mean, the anime can.
What are you talking about?
When you say that anything can happen. That you can, the enemy can come and.
No, I'm talking about the people that you hire.
Ah, okay.
To take you across the river to the Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
They can take your money and don't take you at all because you do it in secret, you do it like illegally. You know?
Yes.
Or they can take your money and boating you to the middle of the river, dump you there, and go back to Laos and take more people.
So there are three choices.
Yeah.
Am I understanding
that? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Either they take you, or they drop you in the middle, or they take the money and don't take you
and
at all.
And don't show on at all. And they will say, you go hide in these bushes, and at this hour, and if you see my boat, run as fast as you can to the boat. And if they, I guess they look for the right time because the enemy around the, you know, the river. You know, they watch the river, so they know the people will cross the Mekong. And they'll say, give me the money. You go hide in that bushes. And then if you see me fishing around, like, you know, with the boat fishing around, and you see signal, you just run as fast as you can to the boat. Otherwise, if I pass, then I won't come back no more. But then you have to get them the money first. And some people, and you think of, if he's not coming, what about the enemy coming and see you? What if he come in and we all get in a boat and dunk you in the middle of the river? Or, he be honest, take you across the Thailand, isn't it?
Are these Lao people or Thai people at
Lao,
this point?
Lao, mostly Lao people.
And so, in your experience, what happened? They dropped you in the middle?
No,
or
they didn't. They just like, and we are the lucky one. It's just like, go straight. Because they were pretending that I was a fisherman, you know. And then the enemy doesn't, I think they know, but somehow I don't know. But a lot of people, they just jumped in the middle of the river and then left.
Did they drown then, or they hit?
I think a lot of people drown, and some people, Thai people, help them, or the Lao come back to help them. I don't know what happened to the people, but if the Thai people come back in time, they say, probably if the other side, they probably won't say. I don't know anything about that. But I'm sure that if the people that the Thai can help them, they're safe.
So you got to the, sorry.
No, no.
You got to, I don't know what the name of the place would be, or you got
in,
to Thailand.
You got to Thailand, yeah. In the city of Chiang Mai.
Chiang?
No, the city of
Nong Khai.
Nong Khai.
Nong Khai. How, from the time you leave your home to Nong Khai, is it a few days with everything, or?
No, probably, I didn't remember exactly, but something like 1.5 weeks or 2 weeks. Because you actually have to, no rushing, you actually have to be like cool and, you know.
Mm-hmm. And then, did you have other relatives or friends that were going about the same time?
Yeah, my my father's we scattered, but we migrated the same time. Not together, but like everybody say, let's go, and everybody go and sing.
So, did you lose a lot of family though in this or friends?
Not that trip. Most of my people stay, some die, but most of my people stay.
So, where did they take you to, a camp at that point, or?
Yeah, they took us to a camp. We didn't stay too long in Nong Khai because I don't know why, because a lot of people migrate in. But we stayed like probably a month or so. Then they sent us to the enemy, the army camp in close to. I forgot the city. The word of the name of the public policy action. Nampong.
I'm trying to remember
that. Nampong, then go to Udon Thani.
Yeah, Udon. Close to Udon. Udon. I don't know how to spell it. Probably.
It's okay.
Yeah, probably UDON. But I think the close to Bangkok.
And this was a camp, or?
It's a army camp.
And how long did you stay there then? About?
We stayed about 6 months, 6 or 7 months over there.
And when did you see your father, though?
Once we went to the army camp, like around 5-6 months, and see him there.
You waited that long before you could see him?
Because, no, about 5 or 6 weeks, because we stayed a month and then he already come to the,
huh.
Yeah.
So a few weeks, 5 or 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So you must have been very happy.
Yeah.
So you were about then 5 or 6 months in the camp.
Yes.
And then?
And then they moved everybody back to another big camp in, what's that? Called Bambi Nine?
Yes.
Yeah, I think you know that. Yeah.
That's where they recently, in I think 2004, more people came from this camp.
That now, right now they're closed.
Right. But I think in 2004,
United go to America.
Yes.
Or you have to go someplace else.
So after you were there at the, how long were you at Ben?
Benin.
About.
You were there the end of 75. Then we leave in 80.
Oh, so you were there a long time.
Long time.
5 years.
I already had my 2 children in Thailand.
Where are you? No, you're born here.
I was born here. My parents have 7 children. The first 2 were born in Thailand. Okay. The rest of us were born in America.
So, what did you do? I hear that it was also very difficult.
At first we came, they were open camp for like you do a garden or do a farm for like 2 years.
They would let you in and out?
Yeah.
So that's when you say it was open.
It's open, yeah.
In the first 2 years.
Yes. And then they closed the camp, so don't let anybody go out. And I think that's about it. They feed people, but as far as money and something else, we had hardship. You had no way to work and all that stuff. But we're not hungry.
Did you make, or you were too young, did you make any of the, how do you pronounce the material? Or did your mother?
Back then we did it for clothes, because they started to do Padao when we come to America, like 77, 78. And then they only, I guess the American people come and they have sources, income, but they only take the better hand. I'm not good. Mm-hmm. I'm not good in sewing, so if you back there, you do, and they have to look at your work. And some people, they do it when they're a kid, and then the older people, they can do it, but younger people, around my time, people don't wear padao no more, they wear modern clothes, and they don't. We don't do needlework that much. Only do it for a new year or those stuff.
So this
So I'm not good at it.
Uh-huh. This pen, that, is that the story tapestries or the, you know, they make the squares with just the patterns?
Name one of the shapes.
You understand what I'm asking?
There's two kinds.
Right.
One is,
I just learned this yesterday.
One is the storyteller.
Yeah, those came later.
That came later, maybe like 1789, 1880. But one is for clothes.
Ah, okay.
That from century, from so.
Okay.
So back then, I don't know all of that. It had to be very, very fine needle. I don't know all of that.
I can't sleep. But you were taking care of the animals on the farm. So you were doing different.
Actually, I think do the very fine needle from back in my mom's time. They only do like maybe a couple here for the New Year's or if people come and then and you wear nice clothes, nice looking long clothes. And they have no way to sell it. They only do it for themselves. And they only do it when it's raining day. They can't go do anything else outside. And they do the whole year. They only get that little bit. Today it's raining. I can't do anything. I can't feed the animal. I can't go to the field. I can't go get wood.
Yeah.
Let's do the needlework.
Is it your mother who lives in Lansing or your husband?
Yes,
your mother. Does she do the needle or no?
Back then she does. She does. She have a little bamboo cover bucket. And because everybody has to do. If you don't buy it, they don't buy it in their age.
Was she able to bring any of what she made? Or no?
No, she bring herself and bring us.
She didn't, wasn't able to bring it.
But they do a very fine needle. They don't have a large bucket. They have bucket is big. And I see my mom rainy day, she will open her bucket for a little needlework. And doing this all day, I gotta finish this. Tomorrow it was sun or shine, I do something else.
So you were there for a long time, several years.
Bagina.
I'm
there like 5 years.
Your father stayed with you in this time or he came?
He stayed. When we crossed through Thailand, you stayed. So he stayed. Then I married him, then we
go out. Met in the camp?
Yeah.
And your name again is?
K-A-O.
That's a cow?
Oh.
So you found each other in the camp?
Yeah.
Okay. And then... at what point then did you come to this country first?
No, we married in Thailand.
I mean, I'm sorry, I didn't ask you. You didn't go to France or some other?
No.
Okay, because some people went to France and then came here. You came
straight
to Michigan or?
To Jackson, Michigan.
And, what was your connection with Jackson? Was somebody from the family already here?
My cousin were here, I think, in the end of 75. They are the first people there.
And what is their name?
Ping.
Ping. On your father's side or your mother's side?
My father's side.
So did they sponsor you?
Or
did the church sponsor you? Or
he had a truth from Jackson, because back then, not many people were here, so they were, I think they were searching and ask for church to sponsor people. And he actually lived in Lansing, but he found a church in Jackson.
My dad had a church right down there.
He what, I'm sorry?
The church is on that piece of paper.
Oh, good. Okay. Is he still living?
My cousin?
Yes. So he found a church in... Do you know the name of the church or no?
The United...
Calvary United Methodist Church.
What is it?
Calvary United Methodist Church.
Okay, I'll ask you more about these documents because they're going to be helpful. So they said, okay, you're going to America. Or how did this happen?
That's about it.
Wait a minute, I wasn't there.
You're the plane and you shoot off.
They just say they found when people work in the American people come to interview people. And they'll call your name and say, at first you have to present your name, then for like a certain time, then they'll come back and say, they found sponsor for you. So they give you a certain date that you can get ready and go.
Now, were these people who came to talk to you, are they government people or church people or both?
They have people who work.
UN.
Oh, the UN.
Yeah, UN. The UN, and mostly we don't speak English, so a lot of people that speak our own language will explain things like, you know.
UN, first UN people come and talk. Say who you work for, and one thing. Your brother, your mother, your father work for United States or no, or things. A couple of things.
So they had you all on the plane, which must have been very strange. Yes?
Very. I mean, I'm riding a helicopter before, and those are smaller planes before, but not a
Now, was it a, some people I know when they came earlier, they were on a cargo plane where there weren't seats. Were there actually seats? Or was it like a...
No, it's a commercial plane.
It was. Because earlier, I understand that some people were just hundreds of people on a plane. But
that is when the corruption, the loud corruption.
Yes.
And then the companies take over.
Ah.
And the Van Pau, right? Ask American people, whoever CIA, to help take as many people of his people, soldiers, to Thailand. And they will bring me personally, my mom and my dad took us to that. In Northern Laos, we have an airport for fighting planes. It's hiding in the middle of nowhere. But they have cargo. They have fighting planes there, and sometimes a cargo plane come over. But at this time, in 1975, the Bangkok asked the CIA for cargo plane to carry his soldier to Thailand to get from danger. And they will have, I don't know how many, but I remember my parents beat or lining up a at the airport, like, side to side, back and forth, waiting for the cargo plane, but and people are fighting to get in there. We can't get in there because so many people.
Oh, so you tried earlier?
We tried. That cargo plane is from Laos to Thailand, not from Thailand to America. From Laos to Thailand.
Ah, okay.
Did you hear that story? So my parents and my family were waiting, I think, 3 days. But when people try to get in there, like crazy, and some people leave their kids, some people, children go first, and parents get behind. So if people that you have a large group like us, you can't get in.
You have
large group like
yes.
us, you can't, you know.
Uh-huh.
So we went there for 3 days, and I think 2 days, and the three, no plane come no more. It's stopped. Everybody is sad and waiting, not coming anymore. So then you go back and you start to walk back.
Right. So you got on the plane.
Yeah, I mean, you
must have been very tired.
No, actually.
Or how did you feel? This whole new.
I feel like I'm doing nothing. I don't speak English. I did not speak English. They told me they told us because we have two small children. They told us, you only need 2 words, hungry and bathroom. It means a sign, you know, man and woman, bathroom. I know that's about it. And then I feel like I'm dreaming because back at the time I had my second child, like a month. And then you came, and I feel so tired, and I don't know nothing. I didn't feel anything.
And what city did you come to in this? Detroit or?
In Jackson.
No, but.
Land in Detroit.
Oh, okay. Okay, I think what I'd like to do is have you tell me. Your story from.
Fuck, I don't got enough.
Well, and then we'll come back to you to ask about your experience adjusting to America. Is that okay? So this is a. I think I'm going to use your bathroom again, too.